Buongiorno everybody and welcome! Thank you for taking the time to come here and learn about identity and developers and Microsoft offering. And above all, congratulations for having found this pretty difficult to find room and for having braved the elements like rain, cold, and all this stuff that was between the cozy main conference center and here. So thank you so much for being here. My name is Vittorio Bertocci, as you can hear, as usual from my accent. I live here in Redmond, and I work in the developer experience team in the identity division. And today, I'm going to spend 59 minutes talking about how to take advantage of Microsoft Identity to unlock the riches of the cloud. In the last 2 days, you have been hearing all sorts of fantastic stuff and innovation, new technologies, and a large part of those things are cloud-based. And guess, those might be nice and colorful, and identity might be not especially exciting. We try to make it as not exciting as possible by design. But if you want to take advantage of all of those things, you have to first come to us, get your applications integrated with identity, get the token, and then use this token for accessing this. So in this sense, identity is the key to the cloud. But it is the key to the cloud also in another sense. As our service gets more and more successful and more customers take advantage of it, you find yourself with a potential new, enormous, and exceptionally high-quality audience that if only you connect and you integrate with our service, you can easily reach and you can easily onboard. So it's also a key for you to actually participate, be part of this cloud, and potentially do business as part of this. Here, there's the agenda of the day. The thing that you see on the bottom is supposed to be a progress bar. So first, I'm going to give you a high-level idea of our vision, like what do we mean by identity for developer, and what we think is a really great identity solution, like what we aspire to substantially. And then I'll also give you a few tricks about like what is the development model that you want to follow when you integrate with Microsoft Identity. Then the bulk of a session is going to be spent about the business opportunity, scenarios which show you how to take advantage of Microsoft Identity in your applications in the context of businesses, so targeting organizations and similar. Those Azure, the color is not random, little thing is that you see in the bar, are demos. I'll be trying to inject as many coding demos as possible. I know the session is 200, but I hope you are all developers, right? How many of you guys have a Visual Studio on your machine? Excellent. And I usually follow this question with another question, which is, how many of you open it at least once a day? Because I can install it as well. Okay, excellent. So this session is for you. You will be seeing code. You'll be seeing code which is as fresh as it can get. Like, I'll be using bits which have been published yesterday, substantially, or like this week. So you, in this entire session, you will see future-looking things. Like, future-looking as in you can already use those things today, but they are at the very bleeding edge of the things that we are doing. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the entirety of a Microsoft Identity. We also have other scenarios which are based on, like, older technology, let's say. So if you think that the scenario that you have doesn't match with what you'll hear in the next 56 minutes, then come to see us at the booth and we'll brainstorm what works for you. And then finally, I will be using the last part of the session to talk about scenarios in which you want to expose identity capabilities to your own customers. So instead of targeting organizations and businesses, say that you are like a big airline and you want to build the application for your frequent flyers. And the identity needs for that kind of application are different than the identity needs of, for example, the expense note app that your employees will use. And so we'll talk about this and we will see that we have some really interesting innovation in that area as well. Fair? If anyone thinks that this is not interesting, I think we have various security exits, a normal exit in there. Build is a beautiful, beautiful conference. There are so many interesting sessions. I don't want to waste your time. So I will not be offended if you now choose to leave. 3, 2, 1. All right, now you're trapped. The doors are locked. Fire, never mind. All right, so we are here. How many of you guys had the chance to see last year's presentation at Build? All right, excellent. So for you guys, you already know that this is our simple but very challenging mission statement. We want to be the best identity system for every developer. Now that's tall order, so let's make it a bit more concrete. Let me spend a few moments to paint what is our vision of a really good, an ideal identity system. And this vision is based largely on three pillars. Such a system has to, first of all, allow you to reach the audience that you want. So there are different types of users which live in different places. You need to be able to reach them. Then it has to give you super strong fundamentals. Here we are talking at something as a service, so you want to have a complete peace of mind when you leverage a service, and we'll see in details what that means. And then you need to have a very easy time integrating this solution with whatever technology is that you use in your applications. Let's see in details what that means. In terms of audiences, we already identified in the agenda that we have two large categories of audiences. We have organizations and then consumers and individuals. Organizations come in different flavors today. We are in an interesting transition time. And the most classic flavor that come is the on-premises directory. Like the company you'll be working with or the one that you are working for have a directory on-premises. How many of you guys authenticate against your own local servers? Like local ID. Can I ask you to extend the arm to its own length? Ah, oh, fantastic. Great, thank you. Let's still a lot of people. And many of you might actually keep doing it forever if it makes sense for your scenario. And then there are many others that took the plunge and were now entirely cloud-based because there are scenarios conducive of that. Like maybe they are geographically distributed and they don't actually have an office, who knows? How many of you guys have a cloud-only solution for authentication? Still, like last year, it was far less. So, of course, it's a trend that's coming. But the real interesting thing, the really more challenging one, is the hybrid scenario, the hybrid in which you have one foot on the ground and the other in the cloud, in which substantially you might be in transition. You might be just dipping your toes in this cloud thing and moving some workloads. Or perhaps your business is again conducive of having some parts on-prem, some parts on the cloud. So those are three different audiences that all need attention. You need to be able to address those audiences. And then for what concerns the individuals, which means applications which treat every user as its own account as opposed to one organization, then you have the classic buckets with all the various social providers, which are large suppliers of such accounts. But of course, you also have the situations in which the identity is somewhat homebrew. Like we have seen working with the current market that very often new applications use identity as an afterthought, and they just add like a couple of tables. And then it's good enough because it's launch day, and then they launch, and then they start getting business, and then they realize that they need to do something about their identity system and actually pay more attention to it and get something which is more full-featured and so on and so forth. And so this is an important audience which we want to be able to help. So that's another part. Then there is the great fundamental part. Now, as of today, authentication is truly an arms race. I'm sure that if you read over various technical publications, you see that daily there are like exploits and attacks and hacking, and the bad guys are getting better and better at what they're doing because like all the various tools at their disposal, like machine learning, AI, big bots, and similar, make them extremely powerful. So now defending yourself from that without actually having the might behind a service gets very, very challenging. So just to make you one practical example, talking about our own infrastructure. Just like in Africa, every morning the gazelle wakes up and knows that it has to run all day for outrun the predators, our machine learning system knows that every morning it wakes up and it will have to chew through 10 terabytes of data, which is a very hard to imagine amount, just for analyzing possible threats. And this yields fantastic dividends because every day we identify 30,000 potentially compromised accounts and we warn administrators, which stop disasters before they become news. And even more so, silently deflects 1.5, again, mind-boggling million attacks per day in the consumer space alone. This is clearly something that it's very difficult to achieve if you are just setting up your little table and you are trying to deal with username and password. Simply not because like you're not good, it's that you don't have that 10 teradata and you also don't have the one that you got yesterday and the day before yesterday from which you can learn and actually create this model and keep up with this arms race. So again, super important aspect. And then finally, you have to have a system which is easy to use and works great with your solution. Like if I have all of those things and then I have to behead a black rooster on a moonless night in order to integrate, it's gonna be pretty hard. So here, substantially, the first line of defense is, regardless of the type of application that you're using, regardless of the libraries and development stack that you're using, we can always rely on open standards. Open standards like OpenID Connect, like XAML, like OAuth, which are recognized across the board for the entire industry. And we know that even if a platform just came out yesterday, the community is already empowered to create software that will stick to those standards and will allow you to integrate with the service. But of course, developing at the protocol level is not fun. How many of you guys ever wrote an implementation of OpenID Connect? All right, great. Did you guys have time? Did your social life suffer because of it? Yeah, I know what you mean. So in general, in this world in which our bosses ask us to come out with software like by the evening, what happens is that you expect a good solution to give you some artifacts, some starting points, something which enshrines the 75 pages of a threat modeling document of OpenID Connect and applies those best practices for you, so that you don't have to read this thing, you don't have to memorize all that, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you write an application. So substantially, that is what we think is an ideal system, and we already are at different stages for all of these various pillars, and of course, we keep improving in that direction. Now, in practice, now let's be a bit more practical. What does it mean to develop with Microsoft identities? I hear a nice music. All right, it finished already. It was too short. Okay, so the idea is the following. It's very straightforward. The idea is that you have your service, which here I'll indicate as Azure AD very often because it's like the main head in the business context here. And all you need to do is to configure your application in Azure AD. You need to let our identity system know that your application exists and its coordinates, like for example, the URL where it lives. Or in the case of a mobile application, like some identifiers which you can use for addressing that app. So save it here, you have your mobile application. There will be, regardless of the service that you're using, because like, we have different offerings, but for all the offerings, the flow is the same. There will be a portal which you will be using, signing in, of course, and accessing all your management APIs for configuring your application, which substantially means creating one entry in your system. And then at that point, you are done. You will be downloading whatever SDK you want, our SDK or other SDKs that work with a protocol of choice, probably OpenID Connect, and that's it. You'll just configure a couple of lines of code and you'll be done. So this is the pattern that you'll be applying every time you want to integrate with any kind of offering in Microsoft Identity. So very easy, very straightforward. All right, see, that first segment was pretty fast. Now, just a bit of more slideware, and then we'll get to the code. Business and Azure Active Directory. How many of you guys saw the day one keynote? All right, you are early risers. I tried one, I couldn't. I'm joking, I watched it. So you already know that Azure AD is obscenely successful. Like 90% of the Fortune 500 are using our service. And not only they have it installed, they are actually using it. Last year, when I gave this presentation, we declared that we had 85 monthly active users, 55 million active users, which is a number which is very, very, very difficult to imagine. So imagine that you can convince all of these people to lay down side by side, one after the other. You would do 3.5 times the circumference of the planet with 85 million. So it's still hard to imagine to see like this line of people disappearing in the horizon, but it gives you a bit more of a concrete thing. And the thing is, we are on a roll. Like since last year, now we actually got, I stole my own thunder. We actually got 123 million active users per month. And that's about a 50% improvement. And if you convince all these people to get up and get one on top of the other, you actually get halfway to the moon. Every month, that's absolutely crazy. And now I guess that your reaction would be, Vittorio, okay, you guys are successful. Why are you bragging in front of us because of this? Well, first, because I like to brag with other people's accomplishments, of course. But apart from this, it's because our success is your opportunity. Because all these people are very likely every day, all day, already signed in Azure Active Directory, which means that if you create an application and you integrate with Azure Active Directory, then they will be substantially a couple of clicks, literally a couple of clicks away from becoming your customers as well. So imagine that you are My Day. My Day is one of our successful ISVs. They work with students and they deal with their calendars and they use the Microsoft Graph for dealing with schedule. Now imagine that you want to target a specific set of users in a specific organization. The fact that those users are already signed in there and the fact that Azure AD substantially takes care of the pipes for all of these scenarios means that it's possible for them to just use a browser, navigate to the application, and receive a prompt for just consenting for the use of the app because they're already signed in with Azure AD. And the moment in which they grant consent, the application is already provisioned. So compare these with the classic deployments that you had to do in the past in which you had to go and find out who is the administrator and send a fruit basket and do all of these kind of social things that are required to lubricate the deal. So, great, fantastic. Now, in practice, what does this mean? Now, say that here you have a classic scenario in which you have your web application living somewhere. Could be running in Azure, could be running wherever you want. And say that you have your browser and that you have your user. Every time this thing is too tall. Okay, here you have your user. The idea is very simple. How many of you guys went to the presentation of NetCore 2.0? Some. Okay, for everyone else. We released during this week the first preview of NetCore 2.0, in which we introduced the improvements across the board, but the one that I'm personally interested in are the one about authentication. And in the authentication one, we substantially made a change. Whereas in former versions, we had multiple middlewares, which had to collaborate for doing your authentication. In V2, we have one single middleware, which integrates handlers, which do the sub aspects of these. Like there is one handler for OpenID Connect, there is one handler for cookies, and it's only the same middleware, and it makes it very easy for you to code if you don't want to use the templates, which already would write the code for you. And it also makes it for like more efficiency and more clarity. So here, let me name this guy, authentication middleware. Very good. And here the flow is the classic, which I'm sure you have seen many times. Browser tries to get the resource, gets intercepted. The middleware is configured to work with Azure AD. Get redirected in here, get authenticated using whatever policy your service wants to use. Get back a token, send the token back. Middleware receives this token, validates it, decides it likes it, and then produce a cookie, which my wife always says is not a cookie, it's a pretzel, whatever. And sends it back, and from this moment on, I just have a session which I can use. And there is another part in which I can also piggyback on this and get the token for calling an API, but it's very similar to the mobile case, which I'll show in a second, so I will not show you that. Okay, so after all this blabbering, I can actually show you some code. And normally here, I actually like in the past, I've been doing something similar in which I show you that you can use the templates for automatically generating the code, which is still the case here. And with the V2 of Core, I can do it from the command line, and I can do it on Mac, I can do it on Linux, and it will work for the magic of the Core. But it's not blue collar enough for me. I want to write the code, so I'm not going to use that. I'm actually writing the teeny amount of code which is required for integrating. So let me open. Thank you for the trust, but let's see how it goes down. So here I have an empty application. Empty, well, it just has no authentication. I just created this MVC app with no authentication whatsoever. And now, as I said, in order to use Azure AD, I need to integrate with Azure AD. So here, let me navigate to appdevmicrosoft.com. I have to accelerate or I will not finish. And I'm signing in with a specific user. I'll be doing this for a specific directory, but you can do it also as a generic, as an app which works with any directory. And we are, in the end, we'll give you links to documentation. We have many guided setups which will help you with that. So here, let me add one application. Let's call this application build 2017. I could have said the guided setup, which gives me Rails, but of course, where's the fun in that? Okay, so now I have a generic application, which at this point is malleable. It can be anything. And I choose to make a web application. And how do I do this? I click Add Platform. I choose Web Application. And now you can see here that there is this area in which the only thing I have to provide really is the URL of my application where I want to get tokens. And now I need to find that out by clicking on properties, and it's this one. So let me copy it, let me place it in here. Okay, now it's the classic moment in which I forget to save, which doesn't make for a good demo, but now I see the green thing, and I'm trained to be happy to see this, so good. And here, there is this application ID, which is the identifier of your application. When projected in the protocol, for the ones among you that are knowledgeable about the protocol, this is the client ID. Now, I copied this thing because I'll need it. Now, let me come back to my application. Now, for my application, adding authentication is easy. I'll start by going in my controller, which now can be accessed by anyone, and just make it constrained. This thing has been in ASP.NET since forever. It's just an attribute which I place on top of it, and it says only authenticated people can go through these routes. Nothing new. And now I come in startup, and I need some namespaces. So let's see. I want Microsoft ASP.NET Core Authentication, OpenID Connect, of course. And then I would like, I wish I'd be a faster typist. I apologize for boring you. Luckily, there is IntelliSense. And now that I did this thing, I can come in here and configure, which is the routine which sets up your pipeline. And all I need to do is app.use authentication, and I'm done. Now, of course, I'm not done yet. I just added my middleware here. Instead of adding two, now I can add just one. And then I need to configure this thing to use the settings that I just created in my entry. And here, for saving you from seeing me painstakingly write this, I am cheating a bit. I have a little snippet. So the first part, I won't go into the details. It's pretty much boilerplate code, which just means if you see a 401 leaving or a 403 leaving, grab it and transform it in a 302 and an authentication, which is the thing which allows us to have added that authorize and then go through the little dance. And then this part adds the coordinates for OpenID Connect. And actually, I just realized that I made a big mistake. So here, I'm passing the client ID, and then in here, I am passing my specific directory that I want to work with, which is the developer tenant on Microsoft.com. Yeah, almost. Microsoft. Nantes, good. And let me build it. And while it builds, let me go back here. And here I made a big mistake, because like in the past, this URL was fine as it is. But now, instead, with this new middleware, I needed to say specifically what is the route that I want to use of OpenID, which is typically sign in OIDC. I could use any other route, but that would require me to set it explicitly in the code, so I'd have one more line of code. So my demo would not be as spectacular. Now, at this point, actually, let me place a breakpoint here so that I can show you what identity means. Now, here, in theory, I should blubber for some time to give time to the server to sync the fact that I just made save, because occasionally it takes a bit more time than normal, but usually it's just like 1 second. So if I'd be on my own, I'd just be hitting a five, but given that I have lots of people looking at me, I just blubbered uselessly for a few seconds. And I hope that this was enough. So I'm hitting a five, drinking my water just in case I need it. And slowly, 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 slowly. Okay, that's a good sign. As you can see here, I'm already signed in with the same user. As I mentioned earlier, if I'm writing an application which integrates with AD, chances are that the user is already signed in. In fact, I'm signed in with two different users. So let me pick this user. And now what you can see here is the consent prompt that I described earlier. This application is running for the first time, and AD is telling me, this application is trying to get access to your information. Are you okay with it? And as long as I say accept, then everything will be fine. In fact, now we came back successfully. Here we are in my breakpoint. And if I go in user dot, let's do claims. Let's expand this guy. Results view, yep. As you can see here, now in my context, there is this user with all these claims that I got from the system, which I can use for doing all sorts of interesting things, like, for example, showing a greeting, which I'm not showing here. So, as you can see, I didn't use any tricks, I didn't use any tools, I just coded my way down this thing. It's very easy, very straightforward. You don't even need to do it, because as I said earlier, we have tools which generate that. So, first key to the cloud, unlocked. Very good. And now let's go to more news. Yep, I definitely need to accelerate. Okay. So in the case of mobile applications, that's pretty much a similar flow. You have your mobile app. Your mobile app will access mostly two kinds of resources. One is the Microsoft APIs, like the Microsoft Graph, ARM, or similar. Or it could access your own APIs or third parties and similar. But at this point in time, and for these, you would use pretty much the same middleware that you said earlier, but it would use OAuth instead of OpenID Connect. For the time being, for all these new technology that I'm going to show you right now, this scenario doesn't work, but it will start working in a couple of weeks. But I won't go into the details of this. You haven't seen it yet. You'll remember this in 2 weeks. And at this point, the flow here is pretty straightforward. The idea is that instead of first hitting the application, the API that you want and do the redirect. Here you can't do it because there is no browser. So you will ask to our client-side SDK for a token for this resource. And what will happen is that the library will pop out a browser in a way or another. We'll see in a moment what that means. It will use this browser for conducting authentication, second factor off if necessary, consent if necessary, and similar, and we'll end up, long story short, with a couple of tokens, an access token and a refresh token. And we break this down, given that we need them both. And here, the flow is the usual in which, when I call the API, I just grab the access token and send it over. And at this point, I don't create any session. I send the token every single time, just as it is respectful to the REST principles. And at this point, this access token is typically short-lived, so that I have an opportunity to, for example, revoke consent to this app, so that I can stop this app from accessing the API. But the way in which we avoid prompting continually the user because of this access token expiring all the time is by using this refresh token. Now, our libraries automatically save this refresh token. And then if you keep asking our library for the access token instead of storing it on your own, our library has the opportunity to use this refresh token behind the scene in complete transparency. So that what happens is that when necessary, we just grab this guy, present it behind the scenes to the service saying, hey, I have a refresh token. Is this user still okay with me using the API? And if it is, I get back an access token and then I keep playing, which is very handy. Because otherwise you have to do it by hand. You have to understand the rules for using refresh tokens, which aren't trivial, and so on and so forth. Very good. All right, so the big news of this week is that we released the production-ready previews of the Microsoft Authentication Library. And for this, you have to thank that row of people in blue in the very last row of the HR finally relaxing and looking at me work while they worked, while I wasn't working yet. Nah, I was also working. So thank you, guys. Excellent. Now, what makes those libraries special? How many of you guys ever used the ADAL? All right, excellent. So MSAL is the successor of ADAL, which is so much larger in scope. It can be used with a V2 endpoint, which is capable of doing both organizational users, work and school, and MSAs, personal accounts, and can also work with Azure AD B2C, all in the same nice compact model. And it has all the advanced features that you had with ADAL, well, like the ones that I just described, like saving refresh tokens, using them automatically, and so on and so forth, and more, because a V2 can do more, like, for example, incremental consent. It's a preview, meaning that we'll still be doing breaking changes for minor versions, but you can use it in production, as in you can grab it as it is, and you can go and use it in your apps, and if something goes wrong, you can pick up the phone, and someone, probably from the last row in there, will get off the bed and help you, and then in the morning, will complain about it to me. But I hope I'll sleep through the night. And now probably I just got myself on rotation. Why did I speak in, on the record? Also, there's my skip level there, which is writing down notes. So I guess I will not be without consequences. Now, the other interesting thing of our release this week is that whereas last year we had a non-production-ready preview just for .NET, this year we are doing this for .NET, but also for JavaScript, for your single-page applications, for Android using Java, and for iOS using Objective-C or Swift, if that's your thing. So all of those platforms are covered, and all of them have a set of samples. All of them use the binary distribution system, which is typical of a platform. So, like, if Objective-C is your thing, I respect you. And also, there is a library for you. Actually, just out of curiosity, how many of you guys develop with Objective-C? Okay, thank you. How about Swift? Same people, excellent, thank you. And Java for Android. All right, thank you. Xamarin? All right, yeah, that's pretty balanced. Okay, excellent, great, thank you. JavaScript. Yeah. Who is using JavaScript for single page applications? All right, thank you, excellent. Now, one thing that we introduced in MSAL for Android, iOS, and Xamarin targeting those platforms is specifically the use of system browsers. Whereas in the former version of ADALs, we used embedded web views, which has a number of implications. In this case, we are using the system web views, actually system browsers, which are features of iOS, which allow native applications to invoke the browser, which is actually on the device for all the authentication needs. And this allows you to actually share context with web applications. So imagine that you use your device for a mobile version of a website, and you signed in already in the website. If now you pop out one native application which is using MSAL, and you need to authenticate, you will be sharing the same cookie jar, you'll be sharing the same certificates if you are doing a client SSL with the browser. So substantially, you will not have to enter credentials, which is really, really, really nice. Now, and here for the demo, I'm doing an executive decision. I was going to do exactly the same thing that I did earlier with coding everything from scratch, but if I do this, I'd likely have to be super fast when talking about B2C and the Microsoft Graph. So instead, I'm going to show you one of the things that I've been doing while I was practicing the demo, which is unfortunately not as effective, but yes. It's not as effective as if I would have done it by hand. Also, it's sad that I prepared to do it, and now I don't get to show off all these apparent skills. But I have to be respectful of the B2C people. John there, it's big arms, I'm afraid, the kid. Yeah, see? Okay, so, see, it's even called pre-session. So what happened here is that I created a WPF application, empty WPF application, and I went to the same portal that I had earlier, not even here. Let me go to my list of applications. And here I have one entry which I created just for this app. I did exactly what I did earlier. I clicked Add Platform, but instead of choosing web, I chose native application. And where is WPF pre-app? Here, sorry. And here, I didn't even need to provide a return URI because I'm using WPF, which is using a default one. And now, what happened here is that normally I would have started by, let me highlight the code that I would have written. I would have simply started by showing you that in order to use the library, you just instantiate this class, which is a public client application, which represents your native app in the directory. It's the entry representing your app, and the one that gets assigned a client ID. And in fact, that's the only thing you need for using it. And then I would have shown you that you can just make this call to acquire token async, passing the scopes, that's to say the things that you want your client to be able to do, which in my case is I want to show the emails of my user. And the interesting part of this is that this method is always interactive. That's to say that when you call acquire token async, you are guaranteed that you will show a prompt so that you have no surprises, you have like no side effects, you are in control over the experience. But of course, you don't want it to pop out a browser every time you want to make a call. And you don't want to save your token because, as we said earlier, you always want to ask the library for a token so that the library has an opportunity to refresh it if necessary. So the actual pattern that we recommend to use is to always try with this first method, with acquire token silent, which instead is the dual. It's always guaranteed to never show a UI. Let's say that we'll do our best to get the token that you want with the characteristics that you want, but if we can't, we'll just fail with this UI required exception. And then if your application was doing something like a background test, then you probably you'll do nothing because you don't want to surprise the user with a prompt. But if your application is interactive instead, you will, as I'm doing here, call the interactive version of acquire token silent. Clear as mud, I guess. So let me place a breakpoint in here and let me start this application. Voila, here is like a beautifully minimalist UI. And when I click this button, as you see in here, the first thing I do is I try to get the token silently. And of course, I never authenticated, so this thing will fail by design. And of course, the surface overloads the keys. And in fact, see, it fails with this specific exception. And then I now call the version which is guaranteed to show some UI. Here, promptly, there is some UI. Today, I want to be Mario. And I don't get the consent because I ran this before, so all standard. And what you see in here is all, again, boilerplate code. I'm just doing a REST call using HTTP client. The interesting part is substantially this one, the one in which I add a header in which I attach the access token. which again is nothing mysterious, is how you call auth APIs. So let me hit F5. And now a beautifully formatted message appears. And now if I click the same button, this time things will go different. See? Now I actually got a token. And so from now on, this thing will simply keep calling the API without prompting it. And now in this case, I chose the WPF app simply because it's not a sample that we currently have to show you it's possible. You could do it also with a console application. But if you do use platforms that have sandboxing and have isolated storage, such as iOS, Android, and similar, in fact, let me show you exactly that, then you can actually rely on the fact that the cache will be persistent. Let's say that once I close my application, when I open the application, the tokens will still be there. And so I will not have to sign in again. So now let me try to show you this thing on Android. Now I configured all of these machines to use the Intel virtualization, which is the fastest emulator technology, but it's still an emulator, so it might take some time. So let me make sure that as soon as I can, I warm it up, and then I'll walk you through the structure of the solution. Okay, let me start my emulator. And in the meanwhile, let me show you the solution. This sample is a sample that you can find in the list of MSAL samples, and it shows you how you can very easily write one application once and then project it in different platforms with little or no extra code. So here I'm using Xamarin Forms. How many of you guys ever used Xamarin Forms? All right, great. It's a way of creating a UI and application that will run just in any of the other platforms supported, so Android, iOS, UWP, potentially also Mac, but we don't support Mac yet. And the code that you find in this application is pretty much the same that I've shown earlier. So if you go in app.cs, which is in the main app here, I declare my public client application class, so that now it's available across the board. And now if I go in my main page, I said main page. Then, when the application is loading, I just try my acquiring token silent. And if I don't find anything, I do nothing. I'm just set my button to be a sign in button instead of a sign out. And then in the sign in button, I do the interactive flow. And if it, when it works, I just change the button to a sign out. As easy as that. So let's see if, it does this. The trick normally is to say, don't build anymore. And as soon as it gives me back the focus, here is my focus. Okay. Now it should deploy. Yeah. Very good. So here you see the projection of this UI in Android. And in iOS, you'd see it nicely white as is their style. And now if I click this button, given that I'm on Android, you'll see that now my application actually disappears and I get the system browser. This is Chrome. And as you can see, Mario is already signed in Chrome, so I don't have to sign in anywhere. I just click here, and this thing comes back, gives me the token, and make the call. Fantastic. And now if I stop this guy, and the application goes back to sleep, and now I launch it again, now you'll see that it takes its own sweet time. But eventually, moments of suspense. As you can see, I didn't have to sign in. I just retrieved the tokens from the cache. So all very straightforward. And for you, it's like just a couple of lines of code. Like imagine all the complexity that we got out of your way. So very good. Now, very quickly, because Graph has been featured pretty much everywhere all the time, how many of you guys heard about the Microsoft Graph during this conference? Almost everyone, but not everyone. Interesting. The Microsoft Graph, in short, is a proxy for multiple services in the Microsoft Cloud offering. It's a proxy which gives you a single entry point for accessing most of the programmable cloud that Microsoft offers. So things like exploring the structure of your organization, or examining, like retrieving documents or modifying calendars or doing events or doing machine learning considerations about users you often collaborate with. Those are all things that can be achieved by going through the graph. And the graph is simply a web API, which uses JSON and OData. All the samples I've shown so far were calling the graph API, so very straightforward. But they also have libraries. So if you don't like to do HTTP client, but you like the IntelliSense, you can also download the libraries and do that. And here to give you just one very quick example, which I lifted straight from Yina's deck. Here you just do things to the effect of like, get this specific user, and you get back a little JSON which describes it. And the user, of course, has properties like the picture or properties like navigational properties, like who's the manager. And now you can use this property to percolate for the structure. And of course, it goes in the opposite direction. You can also have reports. And then you can do things like getting groups and similar. And this is just the directory part, but there are all sorts of other APIs, such as, for example, APIs which allow you to find the first free slot for meeting with this person, which again is big time saver and aggregates lots of different data and makes a lot of calculations for you. And now here I have a little demo, which I was asked to do it a bit more business oriented, but I wanted to have a bit of fun. Also, to be honest, my wife works in machine learning, and every evening she brags about all the big AI stuff that she does. So I decided I wanted to do a bit of AI on my own. And so I decided to see what happens if you take the cognitive APIs and you use them to do a graph workload. So here, I'll just to give you a bit of background. I started working in Italy. I spent a few years in Microsoft Italy, and then I was airlifted to the company, and now I've been 10 years in the States. And one of the big cultural shocks that you have is how casually people dress in here. Like, you find yourself in these meetings in which there's lots of people, and you don't know them by the face, and you don't know who they are. And back in Italy, if there is a VP or a GM, you recognize them. Like, they have like a Prada suit, they have a 3D printed hair, they have a perfect tan. And instead, here in the States, you have basically the guy that can show up with sandals and socks. After 10 years, I still can't grab my head around it. And it might be a VP. So imagine you have an application which uses machine learning to train a model using just the pictures that you can find in the directory to train a model of all the people in a group, in a company, and similar. And then you use like your webcam of your phone, of your device, and similar to discreetly just pointing it toward the person. It do some facial recognition. And then once you found the person, use the power of a graph for extracting information like when to meet this person, like the details that it belongs to. Of course, now I'm joking because it's late and this topic is hard, but you can think of also more serious applications, like actually doing things in a meeting not for the reason that I said, or like you lose your, like you forget your badge at home, you need to get a temporary badge. Imagine there is a kiosk, you go and you just get this thing done. So there are many interesting applications that you can do for this. So now allow me to demonstrate. Here I trained the system based on my boss organization. And now let's see if this thing recognizes me. Et voilà, see? The magic of cognitive APIs plus the graph API. It just found my face, and in my face model, I just added the unique identifier of every user, and I'm using that identifier, the object ID, to percolate through the graph. And here I'm just showing you super basic stuff. Now you can send me emails. I realized later that I would have been showing this to everyone. But like, it works also, even if you do faces. So obviously, again, if you want to know more about the graph, I highly recommend checking out all the various recording of sessions. We had lots of really, really good sessions. Yina did a fantastic job earlier today. Okay, so now we are at the last segment, which I'll have to compress a bit, but that I'm doing. How many of you guys ever used Azure AD B2C? Lots of you, very nice. Azure AD B2C is an offering designed to work with the specific scenario in which you have an application working with your own customers. Whereas Azure Active Directory is designed to work with organizations, And so you have underpinning this idea of administrators that will deal with life cycles, with provisioning, you have groups, you have roles, you have like all these classic, very business-oriented flows. In B2C, you have flows which are designed to enable the user experience. And instead of having like this overarching presence, which is the organization and the administrator, which deals with the organization, you actually have this pure white label service in which you, the application developer, own absolutely every pixel of the experience, where you can define various what we call user journeys, in which you can describe what happens when a user is signing up, when a user is signing in, when a user is changing the password. You can decide from which identity providers it's coming from. You can use directly local users, as in you can own directly in our, what we call tenants, the actual credentials of a user so that you are not relying on any external parties. And especially, this is designed to scale to oceanic crowds. Like some of our biggest customers, like Real Madrid and similar, actually have hundreds of millions of users. So it's like a really, 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 really compelling service, which is based on the same infrastructure as Azure AD, but that surfaces a different set of features. And for this service, we have lots of interesting news. The first news that I would mention is all the things that I've shown with MSIL earlier can be done straight to B2C as well. So you use exactly the same library, you use exactly the same programming model, and you'll be able to connect to B2C. So once you see that browser coming up, you'll potentially see like the list of the identity providers like Facebook, Google, Twitter, which is also new for this conference, and you'll be able to go exactly through the same flows with the same library. So very handy. You learn a skill and you apply it across the board. Then the middleware that we already have is an OpenID Connect middleware. It's not tied to any specific flavor of AD. And so it works. It works across the board very easily. And in fact, nicely, again, for the net core to the top preview, we introduced new templates which allow you to take one application that you already registered using a portal in the same pattern that I said earlier, and you can generate automatically one application that will be using B2C. So right from the start, as soon as you are done creating the app, you can hit F5 and this thing will go and authenticate with B2C, which is pretty nice. And another aspect is that now when you create a project for NetCore and you choose to use individual auth, let's say in-app user store, we now re-engineered and refactored the template so that the way in which your application authenticates is by using the same OpenID Connect flow that we do in the cloud. So now you substantially get this mini authorization server which lives in-app, and when you decide that you want to point your application to the cloud, all you need to do is to just change a couple of strings saying, instead of going to this local address, now go to this other address, and your application will work without modifications, which is pretty nice. So now let me show you. Now, this will entail some cut and pasting, so it might take some time. So first, let me get to the portal where I keep my settings. So portal. OK. How many of you guys recognize this portal? Very good. OK. So here I have my B2C tenant. So here, let me get to Visual Studio, and let me say that I want to create a new ASP.NET Core application. And web application 8, OK. 8 is a good number. I like it. I want a web application. And here is change authentication. And new with this version, you can see that now I can do this in-app store, which would create this thing internal to my app. Or I can say connect to an existing user store. Now, eventually, we'll get in a place in which we'll do like the other tenants, in which we create this application for you on the fly. But for this release, for the time being, we just allow you to connect to an existing one. So now you'll see me do some cut and paste. So I'll start by saying, OK, my application lives in this domain. OK. And then which application I want? I want this application. I want the application ID. So here it goes. Now, I need to make sure that the address, the URL, is the same. So here I'm creating a new URL, so I'm assigned a new port. So I have to make sure that this port is reflected here. So it's 97. OK, so let me save this setting. And now here I just need to produce, to specify what we call the policies, which indicate the experiences, the user journeys, that I want my users to go when they do a certain action. So for example, here I have my sign in, sign up policy, which I put in here. And then I have another policy, which I use for when I reset passwords, which is in here. So I'm also copying this guy. And finally, I have the policy that I use when I'm editing profiles. So those are all things that I'm outsourcing to B2C so that I don't need to do it in my own code. OK, great. So now I just hit OK, and then the template will simply spit out all the middleware, instantiate all these various settings in the right places. Now, the ASP.NET guys, being the ASP.NET guys, you'll see that there are multiple files, one on top of the other, because they like to really engineer stuff. But if you dig deep enough, you will find those settings. OK, so I restored everything. So if I hit F5, slowly, but surely, I build. And eventually, I don't know what else to say for filling the time. Here I get my sign-in policy. And as you can see here, I'm using B2C. I'm integrating with Facebook. And voila. So just out of the box, I just use this template. And my B2C app is already in place. So it's really super, super, super easy to take advantage of it. Now, very quickly, let me get to the more news. Another thing that we released this week are custom policies. Custom policies are the opportunity for you to lift the hood of Azure AD B2C, and instead of using the preselected more common options which we offer you in the portal, you can actually go and pick and choose and create your own custom journeys in which you can add custom steps, in which you can integrate with Azure Functions for doing special things, like say that you have an existing store with username and password, and now you want to migrate your users in the cloud. With the custom policies, you can do things to the effect of send everyone to your B2C custom policy, and then you can have like an Azure function which calls back to your old system to see if this user actually exists in your former database, and then provision this user automatically in the cloud. Or you can directly connect to OpenID Connect providers that are not listed. Like say that you have an OpenID Connect provider from any product that you want to integrate in the list of identity providers, using custom policies you can. And this is really for identity pros, as in like for people that want to go above and beyond, but you can consider this also some kind of lab in which you'll see some of the features that will eventually also surface at the portal level. Like for example, if tomorrow at 10:30 you go at the theater and you follow Gerardo Sacca's session for B2C, you discover a bit more how you can already take advantage of these custom policies and how you can expect some of these features to actually make it through the mainstream portal. And for this, I have the simplest demo of all, which basically just means that I'm going to one application which Gerardo wrote, thank you, Gerardo, which is using one of those custom policies. And as you can see here, alongside with the traditional B2C providers, I also have some Azure AD providers which have been added through the custom OpenID Connect flow. And I can just click on here and signing up with my Microsoft credentials. As you can see, I'm already signed in. So this convergence, which I described earlier, is happening. OK, very good, very good. So we made a very quick unscientific check. And a conservative estimate says that 80% of the companies that you guys are working for already have Azure AD today. So that means that all of the stuff that I've shown you, you can pop out your Visual Studio and you can start doing all these today. You don't need any admin access, you don't need anything. It just works. And starting is very easy. You just go to this address, which is relatively easy to remember, azure.microsoft.com, develop identity, get it? And while at build, you still have many opportunities to interact with us. I'll stick around for another couple of hours if you have questions. And I'll also be at the booth tomorrow. We have lots of people from the team tomorrow. One of the advantages of having build here in Seattle is that those guys are an Uber ride away from here. So you will never have, again, such an incredible access to the actual engineers so that you can get their wisdom or insult them if you don't like what they produced. But I'm sure that the wisdom is going to be the most important component. So you have seen what is the thing that we are aspiring to. You have seen the progress that we have made and we are making. You have seen how like our intention is to be the best identity system for all developers. We are trying our best, and we hope that you'll take this journey with us. Thank you.